Listening to this Fifi, Fev and Byron catch up feels like a holiday for your ears. To feel like you're on holidays all the time, to feel like you're living in a resort every day, visit mandalayliving.com.au.
Tell me if I'm alone in this, Fev, Byron. Yesterday, don't get me wrong, the first real day of summer, 30 degrees, gorgeous, fine, and after a really long, cold winter.
Yep, so no negatives, I wouldn't have thought. Well, just a great day.
I did, though. About 2 o'clock, I was walking down a street in Richmond, and I just went, it's a bit hot, though, isn't it? Like, it's just a bit hot.
I'm the same. I get too hot.
I know.
It's the second day, guys.
And I know that sounds like I'm being ungrateful because it was a beautiful sunny day and we should be grateful that summer's finally arrived. But it just the way we go from 14 to 30.
Right.
Because, and I am, unfortunately, I fall into the category of people, I don't like extreme temperatures.
Mm. Yeah.
So I don't like it cold because I can't do anything. Like, this is what happened to me yesterday. I was with Trixie for an hour and a half of gymnastics watching her in the morning and I had to run around the gym with her, just a bit hot.
And then, would have been in the gym.
And then she had ballet and that's another 45 minutes in a little, it's in a little church.
Really pushing
the
her.
The weird thing
some...
is. Into disciplines. There's an
almost a separate topic. How many extracurricular activities
can
is too many?
Year old
then, just put that on the side, Leon, for tomorrow's show.
And then, but it's in this church, little church in Richmond, and there is an air conditioner, but the church, for some reason, don't let us turn it on.
Right.
I don't know what that's about. Okay. But anyway, so that's really
hot. They had a lot of money, the church.
Maybe this church don't. But then... But anyway, I just thought to myself as I was walking home, I went, "This just a little bit too hot." And when I got home, the garage is a mess, right? And I'm just like, "Oh, I've got to sort this garage out." And the thing is, all winter, it's been too cold to go into the garage and sort it out. And then yesterday I went, "It's just too hot to sort it out."
Sure.
I can't stand in this. It's like a hot box.
Why don't you get your hot box? That was our out, but we're not ready yet. You should get the pool man.
No,
what's
don't
that
have
to do
a pool
with it?
Man.
Oh, you do too.
Oh, you want the pool man to clean out Fief's garage?
Yeah, just something else with his top off. Like, you know, he cleans the pool with his top off, get in the garage,
no.
Bit of sweat.
No, I'm very capable of cleaning my own garage.
Right.
I just need to find the appropriate climate and
okay,
the temperature.
Okay, so today
to
might
it.
Be your day, Fief. 25, a little bit muggy. Storms and showers are on the way, but 25. Will that
See,
be all
25's right? Fine. I want to just, you know what we need? All we needed from our cold winter was the early 20s. Let's
okay.
have like a month of early 20s before we break into the heat wave gear.
I reckon every day be 25.
Okay.
Is that like an order? Are you ordaining that?
No, it's good. Like, it's a great number. And anything over 25 is too hot.
I agree.
Anything right. under 25 is like, ooh.
We see, Fev, you
just
said 25 this
morning. Every day.
We are becoming each other.
Yeah,
that's exactly how
day.
I feel.
We'll see what we can do. Well, you got it today, 25. So there you go.
That's, see? Everything's aligned.
Hey, I'll take you back. Hot box. There's your out.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No, they're heaps of stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
Oh, I see what you did. So you didn't tell your story at the time because we're able to tell it now and give it a bit more room.
Yeah, I wanted to tell it, but you guys thought, because you're great producers and on-air talent, you strings to the bow. So anyway, I was with Schnooksy, Alex, my ex-wife, now fiance. We were in Queensland. We got an Uber from the airport. And we were staying at Fasashi, which is a beautiful place in there without the kids. It was for
fancy.
Yes, it was for a party. We were there for a party. Anyway, so we rock up and, you know, it's a fair ride from the airport and I used to smoke, given up smoking, which is good. And I got out, I needed a dart. So I'm having a dart, puffing away, and there was this beautiful Lamborghini, yellow, beautiful beast.
Why though is yellow?
Like I don't know.
You say beautiful, I say blah.
Oh, yeah, but it was just a nice, it's worth a lot of money.
Make it red or black.
So anyway, as I'm chewing down my dart, these four people, two women and two men, go, "Fev, how are you going? Is this yours?" I said, "Yeah, it's mine." they said, "Can we get a photo?" And I said, "Yeah, no worries, get a photo. Just don't touch it, you know. I just don't. It's just been clean. It's, you know, I've only had it for a couple of weeks." And going, "Oh, mate, what a beautiful car." And I'm just playing along with it. I'm like, Alex is looking at me going, "You're an idiot. Why, it's not yours, mate." And this was just after the jungle. So yeah. I was real thin and I was humming and they go, he's back. The big dog. Anyway, out walks this guy and he comes up to me and he's, g'day, Fev. And he had a young lady with him and his name was Bernard Tomic.
Oh, okay.
So Bernie was at the Versace as well on the Gold Coast. Anyway, I'm chatting away and I thought to myself, I reckon this is his car. Anyway, I speak to him and then he gets a beep beep and the doors come up.
Oh,
and the four people look at me and go, that's not your car. And I looked at him and said, yeah, I just tried to sound like I was humming, but I wasn't.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No, they're heaps of stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
Caught red-handed, I was.
The first story of the Fevolution involving Bernard Tomic.
I know, I didn't expect.
Well, he come up to me and goes, hey, he literally, this is what he said. He goes, g'day, Fev, how are you going? I said, good. And he goes, what are you doing tonight? I said, oh, no, I'm just here with my wife and we're just going to be, not doing much. He goes, have you got my number? No, nah, I don't. He goes, here it is. Give me a call. Let's go out. I said, never rang.
No.
How do tennis players have so much money? Like, you're an AFL player. You weren't driving a Lamborghini.
Well, I could have lose it all on a punt. There's your out, bro.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
The Harvey Weinstein saga continues to unfold, and we all know that women across particularly the acting industry in Hollywood part of the hashtag MeToo campaign. So stories keep emerging of and going beyond Weinstein. There's even, I read this morning, a campaign here in Australia to out some high-profile executives in media who have treated women badly here in our own country.
It's blown the lid off. It's so, just got it going.
But an interesting one that popped up from Jennifer Lawrence, Academy Award-winning actress, she was saying that she's had a very humiliating and degrading experience. Now, this isn't to do with Harvey, but she said that when she was auditioning for a role, she was a lot younger, she's 27 now, she was told by the producers of a film, she hasn't named them though. See, I think the naming's the next step for a lot of these stories are coming out and names are still being protected. She was told by producers to lose 15 pounds, sorry, that kilos, that'd be a lot, 15 pounds, however much, how many kilos is that?
2.2 pounds per kilo.
Seven and a half, eight.
In 2 weeks, which is like just on a separate note.
In 2 weeks?
That's appalling.
Wow.
But this was after she was made to do a nude lineup. So she was made to stand with five other women naked in front of producers. So, you know, ogled, looked at, dissected her physicality, all out on display, and then said 15 pounds in 2 weeks.
Jeez.
I mean, I don't know what that is, but it's wrong.
Like it's absolutely wrong.
It falls 100%. Into all sorts of categories. But the bit I want to focus on for a second is the losing weight. Like I know we're talking a lot about harassment at the moment, but being told to lose weight, no matter who it's from.
I get told that all the time. Lose some weight. Sorry, what?
You get heckled and people just rip you all the time.
Oh, geez, you need to get back in the jungle. Oh, really, idiot. All the time. But anyway, hey, do you want to do a nude lineup, you and me?
Oh, no, but normally when I say no, I have to do it anyway.
You two doing a nude lineup. I mean, it does take away from the seriousness.
Oh, it does.
I think, thanks, Fev.
And I agree. Yeah. It definitely takes away from the seriousness. Anyway, we couldn't possibly do that.
Fev, sometimes you just go, woo, woo.
Yeah, but I'm the first
to
jump at an opportunity for you two to get nude.
I just rewound.
But not in this context. Continue, Fev.
Not in this context, because I think she's been asked to lose weight. And as I said, it's one thing. I think this can start when you're a kid even, or teenagers. Your parents might start that thing about you need to lose weight, you need to lose weight. But you can be told in a professional context, or even worse, and I would say this has never happened to me, but I've spoken to a lot of girls that this has happened to, a boyfriend tells you to lose weight.
Oh.
13, 10, 60. Now Jennifer Lawrence has come out and said she has point blank been told you need to lose weight. If you've got a story, you can share an experience similar to this.
Yep.
13, 10, 60. When were you told to lose weight?
I'll share this with you. I hope my brother won't mind, because he used to love playing footy. And because I was playing AFL at the time, and Jace was a bit chubby when he was playing down at Beaconsfield, and people used to stand behind the goals from the opposition when he was playing forward and call him fatty and you're not as good as your brother. And then he stopped playing footy from that. And my brother's a gun footballer. Like, he's a beautiful left foot kicker of the footy. He kicks it further than me. Gun forward, very quick on the lead. and he literally quit footy because he was getting bullied from people behind the goals.
Telling him to lose weight.
To lose weight, like it can happen for both female and male. Yeah, unbelievable. As well. And that was that really got him.
I bet
that,
it did.
No, it's not good.
No, because
it made me feel horrible as well.
I know, and people don't share those stories because there's shame attached. Mm. Because you don't want to actually have to have the conversation in public. Going, somebody said I should lose weight, because that's drawing attention to your own insecurity and the own issue within you.
Yeah,
we would all love to lose weight. Yeah. Not as simple as that.
Yeah, or just being told by someone else to 13, 10, 60. We'll come back to your calls. I'm sure Jace did like that bit you said about how straight of a kick he is, and what an outstanding.
He's actually a better kick of the footy than me.
He would love that.
Nothing
bit.
Else that he's better than me, and that's probably the only thing that I've got everyone else covered on. Oh, is kicking the footy, and old Jace has got me covered.
Fifi Fevan Byron on the Fox. She calls after this.
Fifi Fevan Byron.
The conversation around harassment and assault in Hollywood continues, and Jennifer Lawrence has shared a story of how, this isn't relating to Harvey Weinstein, but how she was asked by some producers of a film when she was a lot younger, before she had fame behind her. She was asked to stand naked in front of the producers, and there was she and five other girls. They're all standing there literally naked.
That's bizarre.
And then she was told she needed to lose 15 pounds in 2 weeks. So there's two elements to that. One is the humiliation, the degradation of having to stand there naked.
Were they going for
people.
Were they it was auditioning for a movie?
In the movie, there were nude and sex scenes. Okay. So that's what the producers would say. We have to. But
they've just done that for no reason.
Well, I don't think you should have to stand there naked.
With other people, no way.
And all the message in that sense. You know what I mean? Like 100%. Even if she's got an extra kilo, really? She can't do a sex scene? People will what? They'll be offended by a bit of weight jiggling about
that's
on the
really,
screen?
That's a really, really good point.
I mean, there's so many issues here, but the issue that we're focusing on is the fact that she was asked to lose weight. And it's a really tricky one, this one, because I think this happens to a lot of people, but they're too ashamed to say it, because it's really focusing on an insecurity within yourself, and then you can't believe that someone just told you to lose weight. But this can happen in jobs, in relationships even. That can be one of the most hurtful. Laura in Craigieburn. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Fifi. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Laura. Have you been asked to lose weight by somebody?
Yeah, I got asked by my grandparents when I was 10.
What? Yeah, Laura, talk us through that.
Yeah, it was my 10th birthday. I'm a twin, and I have a twin sister that was about the same weight at the time, but she was a lot thinner getting older. But just after they brought my birthday cake out, my grandfather looks at me and he says to me, "So when are you going to lose weight?"
Whoa.
Laura, can I ask you, because as a mother of a daughter, and I'm very conscious of this, and I am so conscious that I will never mention her weight or her eating habits. I'm just going to be so, I think girls are so sensitive, particularly at that age. Do you think that has affected you?
Yeah, it definitely has. For me, I ended up having weight loss surgery at 21 years old.
Oh, wow.
I went through probably, 21 years of my life always being picked on about my weight, whether it be at school, with family. It was very, it still gets to me now. You can probably hear my voice is a bit shaky, but now I get the other scale. I get, oh, you're too skinny. So.
Oh, come on.
Laura, and I think it's really important that you called in, and thank you for that, because this is something I think that people should think about. When you make a flippant comment as a parent, as a friend, as a boyfriend or whatever, and you say, hey, you should lose a bit of weight, you'd look better. The message you're giving that person and that little brain, particularly a teenager, is you're not good enough like that.
And Laura hung on to that. Yep, Laura at 10 hung on to that.
But think parents and adults need to understand with kids, particularly in teenagers, that's the message that you get inside you is this, what I look like, is not good enough. Really damaging.
And the hardest thing is, Boxy, that poor Laura's been told she's too fat. Then had surgery done. Now you're too skinny. No one's ever happy. Just be as long as you're happy in yourself.
As long as you are.
Because at the end of the day, you have to live your life. Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about what's going on the outside. As long as in the inside, you're happy and the people around you are happy, push forward. And who gives a crap what anyone down the street says?
And to everyone else, quit with the editorials. Yeah. Just chill.
But no one's ever happy,
Boren. Stop it. Stop talking.
Lisa in Craigieburn. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good, Lise. Have you been asked point blank to lose weight?
Yeah, very, very bluntly, actually. So I was at a lingerie party, like an adult sort of party, and I was looking at an outfit, and my ex-husband came to pick me up, and I said, look, I'm thinking about buying this, and he said, look, you'll have to jump on a treadmill first.
Oh. Did you say ex-husband?
Yes, ex-husband, yes. He's pretty awesome.
Well done, Lisa.
Wow.
Flicked him.
Gee. Just
yeah.
a prick.
Well, yeah, you could call him that and you'd probably be right.
You don't say that. Like,
no, you
get
certainly
on a treadmill.
Don't say that.
Come on.
Yeah, like, that's amazing.
I think partnerships, relationships are supposed to be loving, nurturing, supportive. That's about as unsupportive
that's
as it can be.
Your wife wants to wear nice lingerie, buying it at a party, and you say that.
I'd be like, oh, get that, Schnooksy. I'd be wrapped.
Eamon in Cranbourne. Hi, Eamon.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good, Eamon. It's interesting we've got a guy calling, because I imagine this does happen to men too. Have you been asked to lose weight?
Look, it's not as, it's a little bit more passive than everyone else is talking about. It's not so much that someone came out and told me or asked me about losing weight, but, growing up I had, I was always a bit of a chubby kid. I was never a big boy, but I always had a little bit on me. I had big chubby cheeks and all that sort of stuff. And my dad actually, from the age before I can even remember, my dad had a nickname for me that was Fatter Man. And look, growing up, you think it's just, you know, dad loves me, I'm chubby, and, you know, you don't think anything of it. Mm. But basically, you know, running along with that, I then, once I was in high school, I had one of the guys getting changed for PE. He goes, oh, Eamon's actually chubby, after I took my shirt off. And then at the age of about, well, maybe 15, 16, 17, I actually, I developed an eating disorder.
Oh, mate.
Which basically I figured out stemmed from, basically dad calling me Fatter Man for the past 10 years.
Yeah. And see, Eamon, I think it's so, thank you for calling in, because I think it's, you've raised a couple of things that it does affect guys, and eating disorders affect men and boys. And I think that we often think it is a female condition. And also what you've really highlighted is things that are seemingly jokes or just a little bit of a niggle, look at the depth that you can cut through, that you've ended up in that situation, Eamon. I'm so sorry about that.
How did your dad feel about that?
Well, that's all right.
How did your dad feel?
Well, I didn't actually tell him until I'd gotten a bit older. I actually went back and I spoke to him at about 21. I had a big chat with him. And he never realized that it was going to affect me the way it did. And we had a big sort of like 2 hour conversation about, sort of how it hit me and how it had affected me and all that sort of stuff. And
so yeah, communication's important. I think there'd be maybe even parents listening to this now going, oh, I might have a little joke that's similar to that. I might not realize it's potentially really damaging.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's really important that we parents are aware of the little things we say to kids.
I think this is important. I know we have to go to the news at 8, but when I was in the mental institution in New Farm, for various reasons, there was... a level, there was 4 levels on the place, and there was a lot of girls in there with eating disorders. They had to walk around with a tube in their arm to feed them, and these girls were tiny. Mm. And when you go into the circle, when you talk about what's going on, most of the girls spoke about it was parents dropping little
hints,
fat, little
jokes.
Hints, stop eating. And some of these girls were tiny, like they were not fat, but it was all mental because they'd been told so many times and they just kept spewing their food up and they had eating disorders and literally they got around with a tube and food in it. Mm. And I'd look at them and think, oh my God, there's nothing. How did it get to that? But it was parents and people telling them that. And it was horrific. It was horrific, some of the stories you got told, and that just reminded me of exactly what Eamon said.
Yeah, thanks for your calls on that. 131060 is our number. Fifi, Fev and Byron on the Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Fev, I did mention earlier that yesterday I had a busy day with Trix. It wasn't the best day to have 30 degrees when Trix got a few of her activities. We did gymnastics for an hour and a half. And when I said that, I could tell you were like, what are you doing? She's 4.
Yes.
It's not like proper gymnastics. It's basically a big gym and kids just run around. I mean, as a parent, you have to go with them.
It's a play
centre. But it's in an actual gym where there's all vaults and beams and parallel bars, and she just swings on stuff, and it's making her confident physically.
Okay.
And then she did a little bit of ballet in the afternoon.
It's
now,
a lot
I agree,
going
it's a
on.
Busy day. But it all just fell on one day. Now, something happened on the weekend, though, that sort of excites me because I am not necessarily physically, I don't have a prowess in any area. I was never a kid where my parents went, gee, she can swim. You're a great swimmer. I gave everything a crack. I was an inter-school diving team.
Correct.
Inter-school gymnastics team.
Solid.
I was an inter-school indoor soccer team.
Okay.
But you'd never say, Ooh, Fifi's a gun. I never got that. Never.
Acting? Drama?
I got okay. Yeah, I was. I got three roles in the inter-school musical. Sure. So I guess that was a little. Yeah, that was maybe an area.
I reckon
possibly.
I've been in a bit, three or four musicals.
Mm. Yeah, you
anyway,
have actually. Sorry,
plenty of strings to your bow. Okay. It's not about you right now.
It's not about me.
So I was never that kid. And I think my parents would both say to me, Fee, you have lots of good strengths and some talents, but sport's probably not one of them.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm at this party on the weekend. Trixie's at one of her little friend's parties. And there was the piñata. Now, all the kids were lined up to hit the piñata. And let's be honest, and this is just a little message if any of the people who make the piñatas are listening, the ones that you can get at all shops around Melbourne.
There's the things you smash and you try and make them break them open.
Is there any possibility you could make it possible for them to break and open? Because
that's
I don't know.
The whole point.
No, I've not been to a party yet where it doesn't result in a parent ripping the thing open. you actually can't break them. So anyway, all these little four-year-olds, all the four-year-olds were giving it a little bit of a crack. And they were sort of missing it, and that's what four-year-olds do, you
okay,
know.
Just I think I know where this is going. You already look so proud of her. What's she done?
So then Trix got the baton, and there she is in a little fairy dress because it's a fairy party. Huh. And I'm not just saying this, okay?
Here we go.
She was whacking that thing, and she didn't miss it once. And even one of my girlfriends, one of my little friend Trixie's friend's mums, said to me, she's amazing. She should play tennis.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. Oh, guys, I can show you the video. I videoed it because I went, I think she's a tennis player.
Well, from why are you
hitting a pinata.
Why are you looking at that? So 13, 10, 60, what did you think your kid was good at?
Yes.
Bring up and brag about your kid.
Well, they're very advanced.
Very advanced.
Thief clearly thinks Trixie's quite advanced. Well, so if you think your child's advanced, give us a call.
Trixie has some pretty athletic genes in her body.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure she's going to be good at sport.
Not on your side.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure she's going to be good at stuff. Just to let you know, it might not be your side, Boxy.
I know. I won't lie. A lot of people say to me, "Ooh, she's quite good in the pool." And don't get me wrong, she's handy in the pool. She's quite a good swimmer.
She might have your looks, but she's got her dad's sporting.
She'll be good in a kayak.
Well, she has Iron Man genes, Boxy.
13, 10, 60 is the number.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Stage parents. 13, 10, 60.
Helicopter.
Stage parents. Helicopter parents.
I just said something that as a person who's never been particularly good at sport, and my parents were never proud of me as an athlete, even though they did rock up to tennis matches and pretended to be interested. I watched Trixie whack a piñata at a four-year-old birthday party on the weekend, and I didn't even say it. One of my friends, one of the other mums, said to me, "You've got to get her in tennis lessons," and I'm serious about this. She is really good. She'll be a good tennis player.
You're trying to be humble. You think she's going to win the Grand Slam in the future just from hitting a piñata?
Well, I've watched the footage, and she's very good at it. But I'll say it again.
Yeah.
She's got some pretty bloody good genes.
I mean, I might have a chat with Demir Dokic because there is possibility.
Probably the wrong person to have a chat with.
I'm just going to get her
the actual worst example.
Okay.
You could have.
Might as well get Nick Kyrgios to come to.
I'm just going to get her in some little tennis lessons because I think we might be onto something here. Keone in Albert Park. Hi, Keone.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good, good.
Do you have a child that has maybe some really strong talents in areas that you didn't expect?
We definitely thought so. My little boy was very competently snapping a footy on both left and right foot by the age of 2.5, 3.
Wow.
Oh.
So we were happy with that little ability.
And you popped him into Auskick and you've...
Yep.
There was only one, guys.
How's he going? I don't mind it. How's he going?
Yeah, he's good. He's just turned 8 and he's playing for the under-9s and helping out in the under-10s on the weekend.
Yes, under-9s. Whereabouts?
Port Colts.
They're a good footy club. They won
Just by way of comparison, guys, and it's not a comparison between the little ones, but I reckon a 2-year-old kicking off both feet compared to a 4-year-old smashing a piñata.
Well, she just really smashed
you
it.
You got to start somewhere,
She didn't miss it. Eye on the ball. Did not miss that piñata once.
All right.
Sarah in Sunbury. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Sarah, have you been particularly proud of a child's athletic ability?
Yeah, my daughter, she's never done gymnastics or anything like that in her life, and she does cartwheels without hands.
Whoa!
Lulu does that. It's amazing.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's crazy stuff. And then I try to do it, and you.
Have you got her a gymnastics team, Sarah?
No, we can't afford that, so she's just naturally talented.
Naturally gifted. So how old would she be again, Sarah?
She's 12.
12. Well, that's older.
No, but that's, yeah.
That's still great.
That's great.
No, that is great.
It's, I did gymnastics. I was so scared. I was up on the parallel bars and I couldn't get down. I had to get a ladder to get down.
Sarah's right. We put Lulu into a bit of gymnastics last year and it's bloody expensive. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
It actually is.
Like what? How much?
Well, it's a fair bit.
Yeah. Okay.
A couple hundred bucks.
Sorry, I've just got a mental...
And then there's leotards and all the ribbons and stuff.
You've got to get all the cool gear.
I've just got a mental picture of sort of the fire brigade turning up to rescue Fief off the parallel bars.
Well, Miss Ward kept going, you can do it, you can do it. And I was up the top and she wanted me to do a flip over a parallel bar and I just had an actual panic attack and I had to get a ladder.
I'll go, once Jess goes, I'll go through what my kids are good at.
Oh, okay.
Just forward sell.
Okay. Jess, you want to be good because Fev's got a list of things he wants to talk about. What are your kids good at?
Okay, my daughter walked on her 8-month-old, the day she turned 8 months old.
That's actually doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, she rode a scooter when she was 10 months.
Oh, wow. That's very advanced.
Where are we at with her now? What
I've
is
just
she doing
to ride
now?
One now.
Very athletic. She's in swim squad. She's in about 6 different sports teams. Yeah, maths and English isn't quite up to scratch, but the sport is great.
Important to recognise the failings too. Just balances it out.
Okay, but just unless the pressure is too much, she's clearly got a bright future.
I think she's nearly ready for homeschool and do all your sport. That's what she's up to.
Okay.
Because if you're that advanced.
I am going to give Todd Woodbridge a call after this, though.
He hasn't got much on.
Show him the pinata video.
Grand slams are over. Now, my kids are not that good at sport. Not really into it. Mm-hmm. Lenny likes her footy. Mia likes her netball, but not really.
Yeah, Rovers, Hampton Rovers.
Yeah, they won. But
they won the premiership.
Not, she's not into it. Like she's like, so Lulu, she's the best at slime making.
Yeah.
Best slime maker in Australia.
That should be an Olympic sport.
Yeah. Well, probably will be by the time they get older. Lenny is a gun baker.
Yes.
She bakes.
Are you just...
Everything. This is what they're good at.
Oh, okay.
This is what they're good at. Like, okay. That's their niche. Yep. Like, Lenny bakes and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And Mia... My proudest, just proud of Mia. She's the queen of taking selfies in the mirror.
It's the fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Listening to that Ed Sheeran song then, I thought that could be a perfect song for Soph's wedding. And I am talking, of course, Sophie Monk, all the way from Thailand. Soph, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Soph, I have to...
Everybody here, you did Breakfast Radio. This is ridiculous. It's a four something.
Oh, in Thailand?
Ready to go.
Has she just been on holiday? Is it just us, or has she been on holiday for about 6 weeks?
You've been there for a month.
Oh, I don't know how long I've been there. We keep extending, because I don't want to go back to all the chaos. I'm
being smashed
on social media at the moment. The point, my poor best friend, Oscar, you know Oscar.
Yes, Oscar.
And Byron, and like I have to get him to read all the comments. Like, I'm getting smashed.
So, do you know why?
In the process where I have to get rid of people, you know.
Well, I feel sorry for Oscar, Soph, because you on your Instagram the other day gave him one of your gifts, saying it was for him, and then he opened it up and it was bikinis. Geez, he looked good in them, though.
Oh, didn't he look hot in them? And guess what? I did a poll vote, and he won.
Yeah, don't worry, I voted for him.
Who wore it better?
What was
the storm about?
You are being smashed on social media because this is the point, Soph. We've all loved you and been invested in your life from a distance, but now you can understand. People feel actually invested in it because they're on this journey with you. And I've got to say, how awkward for me. I reckon a week ago I said to you that James was the love of your life.
I know. I know, it's so funny because I understand that. And you know what I love is people care so much. Mm. But, yeah, I'm getting he's having to raise it all for me. So I'm so sensitive anyway.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, and it hurts your feelings. But it's like I understand where they're coming from. But they've also got to understand there's only a certain amount of time on the show to show things.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just... James, he's a beautiful guy. He's almost the perfect man, but in a different way where I've dated that guy before and I did his head in because I'm not perfect. I'm quirky, I'm messy, I'm dirt, like, I'm disorganized. I've got a weird schedule. Like, he's on a schedule, he's tidy, I'd absolutely do his head in. That's what I say. And then when I did the compatibility test, that's when I realised. I was like, yeah, it confirms it for me. I was like,
yeah.
As much as he's a beautiful, beautiful guy.
He's a beautiful man.
And I want someone down to earth and whatever. He's almost too together for me. Like, I need a little bit of quirk.
I reckon he'd have an itinerary boxy. I reckon if Soph and James were going out for the night, he'd have an itinerary. We have to eat here. We have to do that. We've got to wash that. That's not what Soph wants.
I think it's what everyone wants today. But you've got to remember, I'm a quirky weirdo. Yeah. It's for the first time ever, it's not you, it's me, is true.
Now, so if you're not going to like what I'm going to say, so just put your straight face on, because I've got another one of my theories that you're not going to want to comment on.
Okay, another theory.
But see, this is the thing. Why we love you and Australia loves you is because you are so relatable and you are so giving of yourself. And when you look at Soph, you know what she's thinking. I saw you in love last night. I've seen it. I saw you in love.
And you, I did the same thing.
Yeah, Fev and I agree.
We both come in this morning and said the same thing.
You are madly in love with Stu and you can't deny it. He's the man for you.
He looks at you in a way, he looks at you with a little smirk that he knows that you love him and he loves you.
Ooh,
and you
on,
look at each
on.
Other and we're onto it.
What's Soph going to say here?
James does the same. He's smiling the whole time too. So you never know.
She's flashing. Don't worry.
You can plead the fifth because Channel 10 publicists require you to.
No, I keep surprising people. Look with Luke. Look with James. You might be surprised.
Okay. We're very open to being surprised, but we couldn't be happier for you because you are glowing. It's just beautiful. I know that we'll have this chat with you when the winner's revealed, but we're very happy.
I'm happy because, Soph, I'm not much for The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I've never watched one, and I've watched every episode of this series because I love Sophie because I'm a bogan as well, and yeah. I love the way Soph goes about it. And I'm literally invested. I'm like, oh, come on, let's hurry up. It's nearly finished. So I'm really excited, but
you know,
I'm quite sad.
I never watch myself ever. Like, I haven't watched one film I'm in. I hate listening to my own voice. I hate watching myself back. But I'm watching the show going, oh, my God, it's amazing. Because I'm not seeing what you guys see.
I know.
It's unfolding before my eyes as well.
Good stuff.
And also, so you mentioned Oscar, your best friend, who we're all mates with too. And we know why you got smashed last night on social media.
He's a tech, isn't he?
Where was Oscar when you sent that Instagram post saying?
Well, you sort of gave away the whole result of the night before.
Half of Australia didn't even know.
Which round?
You posted last night that you didn't accept James and you didn't give him a rose. Brisbane and Perth hadn't even finished watching it yet.
Yeah, that was my mistake.
Well, we're not blaming you, so we're blaming Oscar. He knows better than that. He should have been controlling your social media.
I'll put him on.
Put him back on. Yeah, this is Oscar, Sophie's mate, who is a bit of a digital guru who used to work here at this very radio station. What was he thinking? What was Oscar thinking?
Are you there, Osc?
How are you guys?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm good.
No, we were just wondering, where were you last night when Soph spoiled it for Perth and for Brisbane?
I wanted to, because I posted it too early. Yeah, because of the time difference. I didn't know what I was doing.
These are basics. Oscar, these are basics that you would have learned when you worked with us, surely.
I know. I think I had a little bit too much rosé. Let's be honest.
Yeah, too much rosé, too much lobster. And just before we go, just when we do go, can you guys stay on the line, Soph and Osc, and leave the number for Luxury Escapes because you guys are on the biggest junket of all time, and I want to get involved.
No, the thing is, we booked through them. And they actually did an awesome. They've done an awesome job.
I've seen it. I've seen it every day.
Thank you. That's Oscar Gordon there, Sophie's mate, and of course The Bachelor. Everyone is gripped to it tonight, 7:30 on 10. It's Fifi, Fev, and Byron on the Fox. And that means call now to win R&B Friday's live tickets. That's what that means. I should have played this. Either way, give us a call to win the tickets.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Khalees, she's one of the many acts on the bill tonight. The headliners, Neo, Craig David, Sean Paul. Who is
Mario.
Hot. It's going to be, this is just a massive night, guys. It's 8:45 right now.
Mario. We can't wait. We're going to be there up on stage. And You know, we introduced you to a member of our team a few weeks ago, and that is our senior producer, Tim James. Welcome back to the studio, Tim.
G'day, guys.
Now, Timmy, last time you were here...
It's a bit high status. I prefer when he's just on the phone.
It wasn't fun when Tim was in here last time because we also had his world champion Olympic snowboarding brother, Scotty James,
cool
who
cat.
Has a huge social media
very
following.
Successful.
Much loved. Just won an award at our school. Tim and I went to the same school, Tintern. He won a Hall of Fame award.
Are you
Avenue of Excellence.
I'm not on the Avenue of Excellence, no.
What street are you on?
She's just a court.
I'm on some
dead end.
I'm in a cul-de-sac. But anyway, you came on, Timmy, and we got your brother, and we got you both to ring your mum, and your mum clearly prefers your brother, Scotty. And that was unfortunate for you.
By a long way.
Yeah. So we thought, you know, we've been looking at you outside the studio, a bit downtrodden, and we thought, let's give Tim his moment in the shine to try and catch up with Scotty.
His moment in the shine.
Did I say moment in the shine?
Yeah, I just thought it was moment in the sun.
It was.
Sorry, Fev's perfect. He's never got anything wrong.
No, if I had said that, Boxy would have been first to jump on me.
It's important he pulls me up on things because then I pull you up on things.
A lot.
Anyway.
Probably not the day to do that, but I did it anyway.
Jimmy, tonight, your moment in the sun.
Yes.
You get the spotlight. You are going to be interviewing big R&B names.
Yes.
You get a chance. This is like your Mike Munro moment. Your George Negus. You get to be Waleed Ali for an evening and do hard-hitting interviews with R&B artists.
Foxy, are we sure?
Well, are you going to wear that?
What he's got on now is not going to fly with the...
I think you guys are going to be surprised. I think I'm going to hit it off with these hip-hop R&B stars.
You're wearing Aaron Williams boots.
A casino watch. That's
Casio.
A Casio, whatever they're called.
You've got your pinstripe shirt on, all buttoned up. I mean, you are, if you're ever going to have a preppy /geeky look, you've got it nailed. Okay. It's cool. I think you look great.
There's a trendy niche to my style as well.
Is there?
You look like Clark Kent before he goes into the phone booth. Right now.
Oh, wow. No, you're one of our more conservative team members. So to be interviewing Khalees, Manifa, Mario tonight.
Oh, Khalees.
All the big
stars.
You get
to interview Khalees.
Yeah, milkshakes.
Milkshakes. How's that going to go for you?
It's going to go good.
Have you got any questions lined up?
I think I'm going to be asking questions around...
milkshakes.
Well, lyrics, I think, Fev, is a really interesting thing in the R&B world.
Can't wait.
You know, inspiration for lyrics, lyrical. We're gonna digest a few of the songs.
I love it. Okay.
You don't want to be like every other interviewer and ask the same boring questions.
What about Manifa?
Manifa.
He's confident.
When you touch it, you really want it.
This song's... Seduction is what's coming next.
I can't wait for this. Come on. So all his interviews tomorrow on the show, producer assistant Tim James.
I love this. We find out how Tim goes as an interview. This is your moment to get some clout back in your family, in the James house, Tim. We're putting you front and centre, my friend.
Look, thank you so much for the opportunity, guys. I will make you very proud.
Are you going to try seduce her? With
might
the
give it a crack,
Even though they loved putting together that catch-up, Fifi, Fev and Byron wish they could be on holidays all the time. You could holiday every day. A championship golf course, pool, tennis courts, a bar and more. All in your backyard. MandalayLiving.com.au